Hi, and welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we talk about topics related to fundraising, leadership, coaching, and management. I'm Janice Penning, and I'm here with my partner, Margaret. And we also have a guest today, Emily Capel, who's the principal consultant at EJC Consulting and currently the director of development at Doyen Group. So welcome, Emily.
Thank you so much, Janice.
Yeah, so I'm excited today to have you on the podcast because we get to hear so much the voice of some very big, well-resourced organizations. And today I feel like we get to ask you to be the voice a little bit of some of the smaller, scrappy groups. And as you spend time in that world, my first question is really, what's in that space? What are you hearing, observing, noticing for those smaller nonprofits?
Yeah, thank you, Margaret. I'm really glad that you kind of framed it that way because I think smaller and medium-sized or mid-sized organizations, it's easy to overlook. And I think those organizations, kind of like small business in a way, have been really struggling this year. And they've been trying to keep their head above water. And it's been definitely a challenge. I've been talking with executive directors, CEOs, development staff of small organizations. And it's really about, how can we survive this year and survive the current environment? And how do we get heard? And how do we get our mission out there? Because we don't have the staff necessarily that a larger organization would have. We don't have marketing staff. We have a couple people who are jack of all trades and who are doing marketing and social media, and they're doing development and they're doing programming and they're doing, operations, and they're trying to do everything. And it can be kind of leaving leaders with a feeling of, I'm not doing anything the way that I would like to be doing it. I'm not able to focus on my priorities for my organization and moving the mission forward and spending time on strategy and evaluating programs. And what should we be focused on in the new year? So things like planning, strategic planning, often take a back seat this year because you're just trying to, like you said, Janice, scrape for every dollar and just trying to keep the lights on and the doors open and provide the services that you do for the community. And so it kind of ends up being a real challenge for nonprofit leaders in that, they come away some days thinking, I'm racing, 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 and what did I get done today? And yeah, I checked a bunch of things off my to-do list, but I don't feel like I'm really serving the people that I'm supposed to be serving in the way that I would like to, because we are just kind of treading water.
You've touched on a few, but what's some of the dysfunction that you're seeing, sort of some red flags that, that make you go, the kinds of behaviors like, no, don't do that.
Yeah, I think it's a tendency to go after any type of gift because you're just trying to make budget. So that's one thing that I think is, it can be hard to stop and think, should I be accepting this gift? And what does this mean for the future of the organization? What does it mean for the mission? Is it someone that we know well and who is maybe not so concerned about, specific ways the money is going to be used? Or they might be open to operational funding and unrestricted funding, which fits our priorities better at this moment. So it can be the tendency to really worry so much about the budget, which is understandable, that you're kind of losing focus on the mission and what you want to accomplish in the community. And so I think that's one thing that, you know, you sort of have to like tell people, okay, pull yourself back from that edge. Don't always feel like you have to say yes to every gift that comes your way if it doesn't make sense for you. But that's hard. That's hard. That's a challenge.
It is hard. It's interesting, Emily, even as you're talking, Margaret, I'm thinking about us, you know, I mean, we're a small business and we've had to spend a lot of time like getting more and more clear even on like, what is our mission, right? Which is growing nonprofit leaders. And that means sometimes we have to say no to opportunities or we choose to say no. And it's always very scary because, you know, you don't quite know, will there be another opportunity? And you have to really lean into trust, you know, like trusting that something else is going to come along and trusting that like it's not always going to be as unprecedented as this year.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's easy to get caught up in the current situation and think, you know, this is just going to go on and on and on. And it's important, especially this time of the year, I think, to pull back and to realize we're going into a new year. Things are likely not going to be, you know, as we get into the new year, maybe second quarter, things are not going to be as dire as they have been in 2020. And we can kind of lift our heads up and think about the future and moving on from this. And what have we learned from 2020 that we want to continue to do?
Yeah. One of the things that you talked about, and maybe there's learning here, is this idea of getting a whole team rowing in the same direction. And I loved that, the message and the image, the metaphor of that. Can you say a little bit more?
Sure. You know, I think it part of it comes from everybody's got their own area. Everybody's got the responsibilities and they are accountable for their area. You know, you've got marketing, you've got programs, you've got operations, you know, maybe you've got some other service areas. And everybody wants to do well, but you tend to kind of develop a silo mentality, and that's really easy for that to happen. But in terms of especially development, everybody needs to be rowing in the same direction. They need to understand that, okay, the reality is that we need to develop revenue and develop relationships for this organization to succeed and to be here. And so that means everybody needs to be supportive. And there may be times where, you know, say after the end of the year, fundraising slows down a little bit during the first quarter. That's my time to be more supportive of another area. Say programs are ramping up for January and February. What can I do to help promote programming? And what can I do to share about programming with donors? And so there's areas where I can jump in and at the end of the year or say, you know, midway through the year, I'm going to need a bit more visibility on development and on fundraising. And so, you know, I need people to help integrate it into the messaging, into newsletters and impact reports and things like that. So if you can kind of, you know, navigate that, I think that's very important throughout the year. So you're not just everybody kind of doing your own thing and operating in your own little bubble.
Yeah, I think, you know, what I love about that is so much of what we do in our leadership coaching is helping leaders like take responsibility, like what can you do to affect change? So I love what you're saying. Like there's a way in which it's like, if you want more help or support for your, you know, area, then offer more help and support, right? To, for example, programming. And I'm also like for both of you, because I know Margaret, you also work with a lot of small and medium-sized charities. Like, what kind of things have you seen successfully help break down those?
I mean, I would say right now, what's helping is getting everybody on the same page, especially during COVID, about like what's still relevant, what still matters about what they're doing. And, you know, and this idea we talk about a lot in leadership, like creating from the chaos, letting people in the different departments. And I know sometimes with smaller nonprofits, really departments is a euphemism, right? but how can we enroll people in all the aspects of the organization to work together? Yeah. Emily, how about you?
You know, that's a great point. That you can't forget about the current environment. You can't forget about how COVID is impacting everyone. And how is it impacting everyone? How is it impacting how you provide programs and services? And I think, too, that it's important in development, kind of like what you were saying, Janice, around executive directors often think when a development person comes on staff, oh, this is awesome. I can put all the development stuff on that new person and they'll handle it. And now I've got time to do other things that I want to be doing. And that's not the way development works, at least not successful development programs, because the ED is probably going to be just as busy with development once the development person comes on board as they were before, because now they have a little bit different role. They're going to have to make introductions. They're going to have to help facilitate relationships. They're going to have to do, you know, asks of people where they have the strong relationship. And so they're going to be just as involved with development as they were before. And I think kind of getting that across to people and having them be open to that and having it be them be comfortable with that role is a challenge for development professionals because you can't let people off the hook. Yeah. The same with a board of directors. They're going to say, oh, okay, we've got the development person on now. They'll bring in $1 million this year. And we can all sit back and enjoy. And it's like, no, the board is going to be just as involved, maybe more so than before that development person came on board, because they all have a part to play.
Yeah, I love that. What are some of the, you know, I'm just trying to think, sometimes there's a whole different design that happens between an executive director when a development person comes on board. And sometimes the ED gets to just be the closer if that's what they like to do. Or what are some arrangements that you've seen that work well between those two roles?
Well, I've been in roles where it hasn't worked out well.
Well, yes, we've all seen that.
And where it has worked out well. And I think where it works out well is that, like I said, the ED has to understand that they play a significant role in development with the new person. They've got to introduce that new person. They've got to highlight that person. They've got to be in on, you know, meetings with funders and their new development professional and introduce them. And, you know, kind of help them out with, say, background information about the programs and services and the organization, because they have the history. And people generally love their ED or their CEO, and they want to give to their ED or CEO. And so they play a very significant role. And so if I'm, say, new to an organization, people aren't going to necessarily give to me. They don't know me. They don't trust me yet. And so I don't have that rapport and that relationship yet, but they're going to want to give to the ED. And so recognizing that, I think, in how the development person works effectively with the ED is really, really important. And you have to negotiate with each other. Who's going to introduce who? Who's going to, you know, talk about this or that during the meeting? And who has the strong relationship here? And as the development person, what am I going to be responsible for? So it's a negotiation. And I think that if you can achieve that, that works most effectively. But then the ED kind of has to start letting go of the reins a little bit too, as the development person gains more history at the organization and develops relationships. And it's okay for the ED to start letting go of some things. So that's important too. But if they have the history with someone, that can be tough to, let go of that too. So some of it may work, some of it may not, but you have to, it's always a negotiating point, I think.
Yeah. One of the things that makes me think of is just that you've sort of named is, let's think of it as a team expansion, not a handoff.
Right. Exactly. That's a great way to put it. It's not a handoff. It's not passing the baton. It's expanding what you're doing and making it even more effective, because maybe you didn't have somebody on staff before who could help you develop relationships.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like the piece that you wrote, Emily, which we'll link to in the show notes, about some of these fundraising challenges and overcoming them. Like, I think the clear message is kind of the need for everybody to like be in conversation, you know, be constantly like sort of talking about what's important, what are our roles, and like the bigger picture, and that everybody is like a part of fundraising, right? Like one of the points you made was like, you know, it can be seen as competitive and that's not helpful. Like what we really want to do is like, as we said earlier, like have everybody in the boat rowing in the same direction. So yeah, I think it's, and you know, we'll encourage people to read the post and learn more. But as you know, one of the things we love to do is give the listeners something tangible that they can do, especially like we said, if you're in a smaller, medium-sized shop and you're driving towards the end of the year. So let's give them something, and maybe, you know, maybe they don't have time this week, but hopefully, you know, as they end the year or start next year, they can get into it. So what is it you want to give to the listeners?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it, Janice, because the end of the year can feel like, especially when you're a small shop, it can feel like you're going down the freeway at 100 miles an hour. And it's like, please don't let me drive the vehicle off the road and into the ditch, because I don't want to end up in the ditch. But when you do get to take a breath and you get to take a moment to think about, you know, I would encourage organizational leaders to really think about what would happen and what would our community look like if we did not exist, and if our programs were not available to the people who need them the most. Because cities, counties, states can't do it all. And so nonprofits have a critical role to play. And if we were not around, what would all these people do that we serve and who are going to need our services in the future as well? And I think if you can answer that, if you can start thinking about it and answer that, you can, that gives you a really helpful frame of reference when you're talking with potential partners in the community, when you're talking with funders, when you're talking with individual donors, no matter who it is, or just somebody that you would, you know, you want them to like your Facebook page or your LinkedIn page for the organization, or to visit your website. And so prospects, if you want to call them that, it gives you, I think, a solid frame of reference about why you should exist and why it's important that you are there for the community and why you need to grow and flourish in the new year.
Yeah.
Great. I love that. That's a great place to get some conviction for fundraisers before they pick up the phone year end.
Yeah. And I know, you know, I'm sure that resonates with you, Margaret, because you love to do work with, you know, a lot of nonprofits around telling their own story, right? And you can't tell your own story unless you know why you exist.
Right. And why it's important.
Yeah.
I love that question.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's great. So like I said, we'll link to the post, read the post. Also, we'll link to Emily on LinkedIn so people can reach out and connect with her to continue the conversation. And Emily, we want to thank you for coming and joining us today to talk about this. So just a reminder that the podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast already, please do that. We're on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music Podcasts, and Spotify. And if you're enjoying the show, rate and review so others can find us. And so we're going to invite you to go put it into practice. The question to ask and discuss as a team is like, what would happen if your organization didn't exist? What would it mean for your community? Thanks, everyone.